just some classic music is all that is right there. And joining us now, the man for whom that music gets played, Bruce Woody. He is the executive director of the Emerald Coast Utilities Authority. He's the trash man. He's the water man. He's the sewer man. He's the recycling man. He's the yard waste man. He is the guy over all of those operations. Bruce, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good to have you.
Good to talk to you.
Yeah, you guys, we always are joined by you the day after you guys have a meeting. You had a meeting yesterday. The board voted on a bunch of stuff. Before we get to the stuff you did yesterday and the notes you want to give to the audience, I did want to ask you a question. There was a fire at the materials recycling facility, the MRF, as we call it. Eric Gilmore told us about that last week. I guess it was a rechargeable battery or a lithium-ion battery of some kind. Did that put the operation out of commission for any particular period of time? Is it all back up and running?
For one day, we didn't operate machinery while we were checking out equipment to be sure that we didn't have any functional damage. We were still receiving materials at the site, and we operated the very next day.
Okay.
It is worth noting, we collect almost 40 pounds of batteries that come through that facility on a daily basis. Please do not put batteries, rechargeable ion lithium batteries and other types of kinds that you find in tools or laptops. Computers, children's toys, et cetera. Those are not recyclable through our facility. What can happen is sometimes they can be crushed or punctured as they're processed, and they release a tremendous amount of heat. And if they're mixed in with all these other recyclable products, most of which are paper or plastics, there's a potential for a fire. So please help protect the environment, protect our staff and equipment by not putting those types of batteries in your recycling can.
Do you want those in the trash can, or do you want people to bring them to the MRF, to the batteries area? Or to the, not to the MRF, but to the landfill, to the area where you drop off all different kinds of things?
Yeah, well, what's better is the county has a household hazardous waste program where they accept odds and ends that we all know shouldn't go into the into the trash, be it lawn chemicals, oil-based paints, batteries, all kinds of pool chemicals, all kinds of types of things like that you just know intrinsically shouldn't be dropped down the drain or put in the trash or sent to recycling. There are some good alternatives to get rid of those types of materials.
Okay, very good. That's a good safety note. I think I kind of knew that, but it's always good to have the reminder as well. You guys are now getting into the summer. That means that we're getting into yard waste, and always it's good to remind people kind of what the rules are for that, and which does get recycled and turned into compost at the very cool slice of the facility up in Cantonment that you guys have that does that. But what are the rules about yard waste?
Yeah, we collect yard waste year-round, but certainly in the springtime, the concentrations really increase, so it's always good to review rules. We'll collect up to 20 cans or compostable paper bags, preferably. We'll pick them up in plastic bags, too. We prefer the paper bags, up to 20 of them a week, and we'll also pick up piles of cut limbs, as long as they're no more than 6 by 6 by 6 in overall dimension, and the limbs themselves are more than about 40 pounds. Please keep in mind, this is a program intended to help residential customers with clippings, prunings, things like that in their private yard. It's not intended to pick up the results of felling whole trees, et cetera. There actually is a county ordinance that says if you hire a contractor to fell a tree in your yard, that they are required to haul it off. They can't set it at the curb for ECOA to pick up.
Very good. You guys also worked yesterday on a one of the things that you were working on yesterday has to do with backflow preventers. And this is what, for people who have wells and irrigation systems and things like that, what's something changed in the requirements? What's this program all about?
Actually, there is no change in requirements. What we're doing is trying to provide additional opportunities that make it easier for citizens to come into compliance. We have about 100,000 customers, but only about 4,000 or so fit the situation. Folks who have a residential irrigation system or a residential fire sprinkler system, or maybe have a residential well in your yard, our concern is that there be no cross connections between those systems and our potable drinking water system. We don't want A irrigation system, for instance, if it gets in a vacuum situation, to draw lawn chemicals back into the drinking water system, fire sprinkler system to push something back into our system. Or if you have a residential well, maybe use it for irrigation, maybe use it for other purposes, but if it has a pump that's creating more pressure in our system, then it would push water back in our system. So it's to protect our customers with a backflow prevention device. The policy that was approved last night is to, if you don't, we're having problems getting a contractor or a plumber to do your biennial testing of that system, or say you don't have a system and need to have one installed and you don't want to deal with the frustration, we'll provide the opportunity with a contractor who's competitively bid for the services. You can opt into the program if you want to. We'll have the plumber do the work, and we'll just add that bill to you, or that cost to your bill over a 24-month period.
And again, I think I understood you, but I want to make sure that I got it right. The key for people to understand is if you have any of those situations, the well, the domestic irrigation system, or the fire sprinkler, and there's the worry about backflow of water contaminating the general water supply because of those systems being interconnected, you are required to have a backflow preventer on those kinds of systems. This is just a way of getting that compliance accomplished. Is that basically right?
Yes, that was a good summary.
Okay, very good. I have one other question I wanted to ask you about, Bruce. Somebody wanted to reiterate, what do you do with the old batteries one more time? You can bring them to the landfill. There's a place to drop them off there. It's better but not good to put them in the trash versus the recycling. What's the actual best practice for them to follow?
Best practice is always to have them recycled in some form or another, and the household hazardous waste program. It's one of the better programs. I know there are some facilities in town that also provide it. I'm not positive, but I think Lowe's and Home Depot do provide those services as well. But the county's HHW program is a wonderful program for all manner of household hazardous waste. And those things that are recyclable will be recycled. Other things will be disposed of appropriately at a hazardous waste landfill.
Okay.
Our facility is not licensed for hazardous waste.
Gotcha. And I think that's on the county's website. I'm looking real quick on your website, and I don't see a quick index, obviously, for that. But I believe Escambia County has a page related to that. Last thing I was going to ask you about. We have been talking over the last couple of days a little bit about Commissioner Jeff Bergosh's push to have concurrency put in, something which he says he believes in, but we're still waiting for the thing to actually be brought before the board. I was going to ask you how concurrency works with ECUA, if there is any element of concurrency where you are developing pipes, projects, water supplies, either right along with growth or even ahead of growth ever, and how you fund that stuff.
We're always looking ahead for opportunities. We do it in two different ways. Some of them are initiated on our own. We're trying to play catch-up in areas that were underserved in the past. Right. As you know, ECUA was created in 1980, and some parts of the system were not fully up to par, and we've been doing improvements over the years. Also, as development occurs, whenever we have opportunities and our developers coming in and doing some improvements, if we recognize an opportunity to upsize a particular sewer through a development because there's some upstream tributary area that would flow through it that would be served better if we, say, installed a 10-inch sewer instead of an 8-inch sewer or those types of things, then we will partner with a developer to upsize that and pay the difference to help look out for our future needs. Lastly, and probably more commonly, we also collect impact fees from folks who connect to our system, recognizing that every new connection adds an impact in our ability to provide service. We need to increase delivery of water and increase the collection size of sewers and make improvements at the plants. A recent example, last night we approved a contract for installing a 16-inch ductile iron pipe transmission main for drinking water from the east side of I-10 down Frank Reeder Road over to Beulah Road. Actually, it's just the design portion this year and construction next year. And we're using impact fees to pay for that because we're having tremendous growth in the northeast area. On the east end of that project, we are currently drilling a new well. So it'll be our 32nd well in the community.
And that's all funded by – now, you call them impact fees. I would call them connection fees because they're not assessed on your tax bill, collected by the tax collector, and then dispersed to you. But, it, you know, tomato, tomato, whatever. How much are those connection fees for a new home?
On the water side, they're about $1,600. On the sewer side, they're about $785.
Okay. Okay. And okay, so about $2,300 in total to a new home connected to ECUA systems, water and sewer. And as you say, that goes to, you know, big infrastructure projects that require obviously very large amounts of money, and that's one way of funding them, defraying that cost, which includes that new water main in Beulah. You're gonna say, go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, one other small clarification. I just threw out some numbers for residential connections. They actually scaled up and they increased based on the size of your water meter. If you're a larger user, the fee is proportional.
Oh, okay. All right. So it's not a flat fee. It's related to the expected usage. Very good. Okay. Bruce Woody, he is the executive director at ECUA. Nobody necessarily likes to think about things like trash and sewer, but, you know, water's pretty important, and so is sewer and trash and recycling and also the yard products and all of that. And I appreciate the work that you all do taking care of that stuff for us. Bruce, thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you again next month.
Great. Sounds good. Thank you.